Peter Hall, producer and host of a program we call Buffalo Philharmonic Live here at 94.5 Classical WNED in Buffalo. We're speaking with the music director of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, Joanne Folletta. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Peter.
Sometime over this summer, 2016, you hit your 100th compact disc in your discography, and I'm just amazed. You don't let up, not for a month even.
Oh, well, I mean, this has been a great discovery, voyage of discovery of my life, is finding repertoire to record for Naxos. And it's been a challenge in a way from them to find repertoire that's not well known, that hasn't been over-recorded. And that's been great for the orchestra too, Peter. So we're always thrilled to collaborate with them.
Now, you've already produced on Naxos a CD featuring the music of Richard Strauss. And I remember it well because it's so gorgeous. There's the suite from the opera Der Rosenkavalier, music from The Woman Without a Shadow, and then a work that is just so gorgeous, the Joseph Legend. You must have been very proud of that CD.
I was, and I agree. This is opulent, gorgeous music that we really loved playing and recording. So when Naxos asked us for another Strauss disc, we were thrilled.
So what's the repertoire on the new CD?
Well, this is very unusual, and it's repertoire that has close ties together. There are two pieces, both suites, one from incidental music for a play, Le Bourgeois Gentilhomme by Molière, the 17th century comedy, and the other from an opera that was performed on the same evening by Strauss, Ariadne auf Naxos. So we have suites from both of those larger pieces on this disc, and they are exquisite works.
I certainly remember being in the concert hall when you performed these. It was really different because, as you say, we just don't get to hear this music that often, and it is gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. You know, the music from Le Bourgeois Gentilhomme is actually modeled after music of Lully, which I think is such a stroke of genius on the part of Strauss. He went to a composer who was alive during Molière's time and who Molière would have known and whose music he would have used. And Strauss took as his inspiration the music of Jean-Baptiste Lully and, of course, set it in new garb, in his own language, his own lavish language.
I know it's not a Lully CD, but I recall this, it's not really funny, but an unusual story. Lully used to conduct by pounding a stick and one day he hit his foot. Have you ever heard this one?
Yes. Lully supposedly was the first conductor, Peter, and he would conduct by pounding a stick into the ground. He had a ballet orchestra, who the musicians couldn't see each other, so they had to listen to the pounding. And he supposedly was a very hot-tempered man, too. So once they weren't following him, and he became enraged and was pounding harder and harder and wasn't being careful, and he hit himself in the foot. So a bad end to the first conductor.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you use a baton in your hand. So for the Bourgeois Gentilhomme, it's modeled a little bit on music of this 17th century composer Lully, but there's something unusual about Ariadne auf Naxos. Isn't there sort of a play within a play? What is that?
This is very unusual. This first production in Stuttgart in 1912 included both the Bourgeois Gentilhomme, the full play with the Strauss incidental music, and the full opera Ariadne auf Naxos. So it was 6 hours long. And I think since then that's very rarely been repeated. Those two pieces have been separated because even for the music-loving Stuttgart audience, that was too much music. So they're performed separately. But the Ariadne auf Naxos is also a very, very funny opera. The play is very funny. The story of the play of Le Bourgeois Gentilhomme is about a person who becomes wealthy all of a sudden, a working class man who becomes wealthy, and above all wants to be accepted and welcomed by the aristocracy. He tries everything. He takes dancing lessons, he takes music lessons, he takes fencing lessons, he throws lavish parties, he gets new clothes, I mean, very, very expensive, you know, tailored clothes. And nothing works, you know, and it's very funny, this poor man. And of course, there's a plot with that, in that his young daughter wants to marry her middle class sweetheart, and of course, he won't allow it. She has to marry an aristocrat. So they dress up the fiancé as a kind of foreign prince, and the marriage goes forward, and it ends happily enough. I guess she gets the man that she loves, and he hopefully decides that there's more to life than being accepted by the aristocracy, which will never happen. So that is funny. And then the opera at the end is also very funny, and this is something that, for me as a musician, I really, really touched a nerve, and a little sort of made me laugh, because this is set, this in the opera, there are two groups of musicians who are waiting to entertain these very important guests. One is an opera company, and the other is a vaudeville company, and they're waiting at this grand palace in Vienna. They're waiting for the guests to finish dinner, and then they're going to have the opera, which is set on a classical theme of Ariadne on the island of Naxos, when she's abandoned by Jason and seduced by Bacchus. And that's to be followed by a very funny and sort of bawdy vaudeville show. Well, they are told by the master of ceremonies that the dinner is running late, and the fireworks must begin at 9 p.m., so that there won't be time for both companies to perform. But rather than just choose one, he tells them, just combine your acts and play it together. Now, if you can imagine the combination of this sort of high art, mythological retelling of this tragic tale of Ariadne being abandoned, and a very saucy and bawdy burlesque show, that's what Ariadne auf Naxos is. We have at the same time the opera soprano who's mournfully lamenting the loss of her beloved Jason, but she's encouraged by the saucy burlesque star to just get over him, find a new boyfriend. So both high and low art coexist in this libretto. And that was the point of Strauss and Hofmannsthal, his librettist, who was his great friend, to actually pose this question. What is better, high art or low art? And can they coexist? And they do in this very silly opera. I mean, the libretto is funny and silly, but the music is filled with the most lavish orchestration and consummate beauty. I mean, it's music that is just extraordinary. And for this Ariadne of Naxos, a suite never existed. So we are giving the world premiere recording of the first suite from Ariadne of Naxos, extracted by Wilson Ochoa, a composer. So, oh, we love this music, Peter. It was just amazing. Both the Bourgeois Gentilhomme and the Ariadne of Naxos, Strauss at his best.
Some of the musicians told me this is not easy to play, and they're kind of exposed a lot. What's going on there? These musicians, let's be honest, they don't complain.
No.
But every once in a while, if you ask them, they go, wow, we had to kind of study score.
Oh, it was very difficult music for two reasons. Because of the situation in Stuttgart, the orchestra is a small one. It's an orchestra of about 45 people. And because, especially in the case of Ariadne of Naxos, they are now playing the vocal parts. Their solos, it's studded with orchestral solos, instrumental solos, violins all over the place, separate parts, cello solo, woodwind solo of great beauty, of great importance. I mean, playing the opera singers, big solos. But Strauss really makes them virtuoso parts. So, yes, but they loved it. We all loved it. It was extreme pleasure to record these suites, it's music that makes you dizzy almost with the sheer beauty of it, in a way that only Strauss could write. So it is quite an undertaking, and I'm very proud of them. I mean, Dennis Kim plays, for instance, all the violin solos in the Ariadne of Naxos beautifully, and Roman Mekhanouloff, of course, is playing the cello solos. Amazing. And Wilson Ochoa, I have to give a great, great praise to him for beautifully extracting from the opera a suite that an orchestra can play, an instrumental suite, much like the Rosenkavalier suite. He did a beautiful, beautiful job of doing this.
Was he around for the recording?
He was. He was with us to help and to listen, and very excited about the prospect of this coming out on disc.
Joanne, I know you like pieces that show off the sections of the orchestra and also, you know, individual members of the orchestra. It seems to be something you're always looking for. And now, thanks to Naxos, the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra is heard all around the world. So not only are we in the audience sort of benefiting from this, but you were saying that playing this music and recording it also makes the orchestra kind of tighter, stronger, beefier?
You're right, Peter. Our 15-year journey with Naxos, it's been 15 years now, has created great artistic development in the orchestra, because we know that when we're making these recordings, and when Naxos never chooses easy music for us, we know that it's going to last forever. We know that it's going on that disc, and it's going to be heard by literally millions of people across the world, and either on radio stations or in their home with a CD or downloads or on the Naxos Music Library. It's many, many people hear it. And so it's made us focus. It's made us realize that we have limited time to record. It has to be perfect. It has to be beautiful. And it's going to be their voice, whether it's an individual voice or the voice of the sound of the Buffalo Philharmonic. It's something we're very proud of. So it's encouraged us to be extremely meticulous about excellence and always be striving for excellence. And what we learn in the recording studio, then we bring to our concerts, because we start to listen to everything in that way, to try and really be at the top of our game and aim for perfection in what we do.
It might seem a little far-fetched, but I remember talking to some elite runners, and they talk about training to race, but then they also talked about the race is also the training, that you need both. It's not enough to just practice. You got to actually be in the game, and somehow you learn things when you're doing it that you can't learn any other way.
You are so right, because that's what it is like for us for performance and for recording. As much as we rehearse, as much as we polish and practice, and when we do the performance, that's when, with the benefit of adrenaline and the audience there, that's when we learn faster. We realize what we're doing. We pay attention. We hear better. I always feel like I hear better in the concerts because of that adrenaline rush that I have. And recording's the same thing. You know, we're concentrating very hard. And we learn and we develop and we grow as an orchestra. So Naxos, for us, has been a magnificent partner, not only in getting music out there, but in helping the Buffalo Philharmonic become a stronger, more vivid, more wonderful orchestra.
Well, this is great news. We love the first Strauss CD with music from the Rosenkavalier opera, suites from Rosenkavalier, The Woman Without a Shadow, Die Frau ohne Schatten, and the Joseph Legend. This is great. There's a second Strauss CD, and it includes a world premiere. So the second Strauss CD includes music from Le Bourgeois Gentilhomme and that world premiere of a suite from Ariadne auf Naxos. Joanne Folletta, music director of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, conducting all this great music by Strauss for Naxos. Thanks for chatting with us.
Thank you, Peter.